Just speaking of sports, as we have been a little bit on this Monday, because it was just such a big weekend in sports. The White Sox concluded their season. Northwestern played a really exciting but ultimately crushing game. And the Bears, somebody took their uniforms, went out and played one of the most remarkable football games I don't think any of us have ever seen.
That was really boring, wasn't it? It was over so early.
It really was. I mean, literally, we could have, if we didn't decide to hit the brakes at the end of the first half, we might have had six touchdown passes in the first half. We might have had six touchdown passes in the first half. Notice that's we that threw the ball and we that caught the ball.
I'm impressed, John.
It was really a fun game. And it's almost like it felt, wrong's not the right word, but foreign. I don't remember sitting there watching a Bears team that easily do that well. Didn't it seem weird to you when you were watching the game?
It was a little unsettling.
So you take that, and then the fact that Saturday Night Live made the kind of news we were talking about this weekend. And here's an article from TheRinger.com, The Story of Da Bears, How an SNL Sketch Defined Sports Fandom. Chicago's mustached, Mike Ditka-loving superfans became some of the most enduring characters in the history of Saturday Night Live, and it all started at Wrigley Field. This is an article that says that we have superfans in America today, and the very definition of that, the new and sort of idea of that, was born in Chicago with that Bears sketch.
We are coming to you live from Ditka's here on Thanksgiving Day, a day for giving thanks for or taking punishment from a team that is known as the Bears.
The Bears.
With me, as always, are the super fans. Gentlemen, how was your week?
Real good.
Fantastic.
Real good.
Fantastic.
Good. Any heart attacks?
I had one.
Had a couple.
All right. Now, as you can tell, we're celebrating Thanksgiving here at Ditka's rather than in our homes. But it's okay. Our families understand.
Absolutely.
This year, the Bears are playing, and Ditka's has a 12-foot screen.
Of course. There's really no other place to be.
All right, we're getting ready to watch the Bears annihilate the Detroit Lions. But first, it's a good time to reflect on our glorious heritage.
Yeah, it goes on like that. And the guy that wrote this piece, it's really kind of fun for fans of the Bears in Chicago, is Alan Siegel. He's on a phone line. Hi, Alan. It's John, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Nice job. We enjoyed the piece. So what's the takeaway? I mean, I sort of set it up a little bit, but tell me what you wrote about in general. What are you saying about that skit and the Bears?
Basically that the, you know, deep down the heart of sports are sort of these really blue-collar, kind of goofy guys who may be a little bit irrational and a little bit too attached to their team, but you know, in the end, they always have faith, and that sort of comes through in the sketch, I think.
And you wrote about the swagger that they have, too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. They, you know, they may not be, you know, Brad Pitt out there with their mustaches, and, you know, they're packing on a few pounds, but they just, you know, they have this confidence that sort of borders on, you know, irrational or delusional a little bit, but there's a beauty to it for sure.
What was the year that this thing got started, this skit?
So it actually was part of a stage show back in 1988 when the writers were on strike from, you know, from Hollywood. It was Robert Smigel, you know, came up with it, and was also with help from Bob Odenkirk, who's also a Chicago guy. And they put it in a stage show. And when that stage show was in Chicago, and they actually did a version of it in L.A., and they cut the Bears sketch because they thought it was so regional that there was no way that anybody else would sort of understand it.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, was it universally accepted? Did people across the country love these Chicago characters, or was it just us at first?
Well, when they finally put it on Saturday Night Live in 1991, Odenkirk suggested it to Smigel, who, again, was just so confused. He just didn't think it would really resonate, but you know, every city has a version of those guys, and when the sketch first ran, it, you know, it took off pretty fast.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and that was, let's see, 88, so When did you say that they debuted it on Saturday Night Live? I'm trying to put it next to when the Bears won the Super Bowl, you know? So
88 it debuted, and it was, you know, a few years after the 85 Bears. And then it didn't get on SNL until 91. And so that was really, you know, the tail end of Ditka's career.
Yeah, they weren't
in Chicago.
That, yeah.
So,
Keep going.
Well, I'm pretty sure, too. I don't know if you are aware of this or remember this, but the Bears, I used to work with the Bears at the time. I swear, we were in New York City on the night it debuted, or we're staying across in Jersey City, because the Bears were playing the Giants. I think that would have been a playoff game in 91. Is that possible? 88?
Yeah. It was early 91, so they were definitely playing the Giants the next day, and I think the Giants may have won big the next day.
It was Dan Hampton's last game.
Wow. Wow. But, I mean, but it's funny, though, because I could see if this skit took off in 86 or 87, but, you know, evidently the Bears were still players in the national conversation, right? Ditka was still the coach and all of that.
Yeah, and I also think that there was a little bit of the, you know, really trying to hold on to that era, which, you know, as people have told me when I was doing interviews for the story, that, you know, as you guys know, the 85 Bears just still have an influence on the city.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if there'll ever be, you know, another team like that.
It's amazing to me. And, you know, we had such a great game yesterday. We've been waiting for the new era of the Chicago Bears for decades now, and I don't know if we're about to turn the corner, but you're absolutely right. The staying power of the 84 Bears are like anything else this city has, more than the 2 3-peats of the Bulls. You know, it's just, it's weird. I think it's because football is America's sport more than any other, but we're still talking about, like they played last week, the 85 Bears in this town. You know what I mean?
I mean, from what I was told, you know, John Roach, who was the producer and creator of the Sports Writers on TV, which sort of inspired the setting for the Bears sketch, was just saying that, you know, everybody on that team, you know, McMahon and Ditka, there's just so many characters. So in addition to them just, you know, running roughshod on the league, they were really memorable personality-wise.
Well, they integrated some of those. Did Mike Ditka ever make an actual appearance on that skit? Michael Jordan did, I know.
Yeah, so they got Jordan in the fall of 91. So it was right after they won their first title. So it was really him at his peak. And, you know, when Ditka got fired in 93, they had him do, you know, Live from New York Saturday night at the beginning of the episode, just because he... Yeah, it was kind of monumental. They had done this sketch for a couple of years, and with Ditka being so popular, that, you know, they had to incorporate him.
Do other I wondered if L.A. or New York or San Francisco, if they have their version of this. I wonder if other cities tried to copy it.
You know, I don't think it could ever really match the guys from Chicago with their look and the accent. You know, I'm from Boston originally, and You know, people with Boston accents. There have been a ton of movies about Boston, but there's something sort of special about that Chicago affect that really works for characters.
Yeah, talk about that, because you do in the article how they sort of came up with the act. What is that Chicago accent, and how did they find it?
So Smigel is from New York, but he moved to Chicago in the early 80s, and when he started going to Cubs games and White Sox games back then, he picked up on this accent, and he has a fantastic Chicago accent for someone who's not, you know, who didn't grow up there. And he said, Odenkirk sort of suggested to make that little hiss sound at the end of Bears. So it's like Bears, you know, with the extra like hiss, just sort of really puts it over the top. And, you know, Smigel wasn't even planning on being in these sketches. He was really a writer. And, Jim Downey, another Chicago guy who was the head writer, wanted him to be in the sketches because his accent was so good.
So who were the original then guys, the Bears super fans?
So it was Smigel and Joe Montana, who hosted that night, was another Chicago guy.
Wow.
Yeah. And he only did it once, and then George Went, you know, replaced him as his brother because, you know, they said Bill, you know, the original Joe Montana was recovering from a heart attack.
Right.
And then you had Mike Myers and Chris Farley.
Huh. And was that it then? Is that those the four then that pretty much did it for its run, or did they substitute other people in as the cast on SNL changed over the years?
Yeah, well, that was mostly it. Wendt became a staple. Kevin Nealon was in the first sketch as a bookie, I think. And, you know, Farley continued to do it until he left the show.
And it was based on, I mean, so the sports writers, was that really the template? I mean, this wasn't just a random bunch of guys, or was it? Or, you know, were they basing it on that old sports writers, which was actually on WGN radio here, and then they had a TV version of that as well. But I wonder, did they borrow from what we did originally, or did they come up with it on their own?
Well, the characters, again, you know, Smigel came up with, but for a sketch on SNL, they needed a better setting, and that's what the sports writers on TV provided. So you had this round, the real show, you know, was this great round table of these guys sitting around smoking cigars and just sort of really speaking off the cuff. So it was really a perfect setting for, you know, these non-expert diehards.
Yeah,
who
right.
Just were around the table and eating just copiously the entire time.
Yeah, every now and then having a grabber. His buddy reaches over, pounds on his chest, gets his heart going again.
Right.
And then they're cool. You know, it's funny because I don't know how perfect my memory of the sports writers on TV is, but I remember it as being a poor man's TV knockoff of what we did on the radio. That show existed on this radio station for years, and you really did. You could smell the cigar smoke coming through your radio speaker back in the day, and mm-hmm. I think when they went to TV, it lost a lot.
We were just talking about that this weekend, how it changed on TV.
But, didn't you think so, Steve?
But tell me too, right? They were called Bill Swirsky superfans. Isn't that what the...
Right. Yeah, so it was sort of a, you know, it was a play on Chuck Swirsky, right?
Right.
The sportscaster.
Who was here.
Yeah, he was
had.
Our guy, yeah. And
wow.
And
wow.
Chuck wasn't really necessarily a big player on the original radio version of it, but Chuck was one of the great personalities and voices in Chicago sports radio and TV, so... I get that. Look at me. I'm enough into Chicago media that I'm dissecting this further than it needs to be. Because at the end of the day, the thing was just a farce, right? It was just a really funny spoof that everybody can relate to. Our team's going to win. I don't care. 79-0, right?
Right. Just the complete, you know, overblown confidence, you know, which is obviously masking being worried about the team.
What's your favorite story from this article or from that sketch, that series?
I'm kind of a big Chris Farley fan, so any real anecdote that I hear about him, it's like catnip for me. So just hearing George Wendt talk about how Farley, you know, could say almost anything, and just his physicality and affect would just make it funny. Like all he would say, you know, was, you know, how you doing, Bob? And, you know, I can't do his accent, but even that was funny just because he was so magnetic.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. And my producer on Saturday gave me the article and said, "The Story of DeBears, How an SNL Sketch Defined Sports Fandom." And that was before they did so well on Sunday. I wanted to point this out. Alan Siegel wrote about it. You can read it in theringer.com. Go to theringer.com and you'll find this story. And then you will go to Google or YouTube and you will start watching old videos of the series. You working on anything else these days, Alan? Where am I going to read you next?
So, I write about sports and pop culture. You can read me on theringer.com and follow me on Twitter. It's Alan Siegel, DC.
Nice to talk to you, my friend. Let's visit again. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Alan Siegel writing in The Ringer about DeBears.